Well, hello everybody, it's your friend Manoli here, back with another Manoli's Musings. How is everybody doing? I'm fine. Doing fine, just hanging out. Just living the dream, that's it. Isn't that what everybody says? You see him at the office, what are you doing? I'm just living the dream. That means they ain't living the dream. But what can they do? What can you do? You ever notice how we have these stock phrases that we use, you know? Oh, how's it going? Oh, I'm living the dream. Oh, what you got planned for this weekend? Well, I'm going to go down to XYZ and do this and that. And, how was your weekend? It's like, you can't ask about their weekend on a Wednesday. You have to do it on a Monday or a Tuesday. Tuesday is kind of pushing it. And then Thursday, you could start asking about what they're going to do the upcoming weekend. And let me tell you this, nobody's ever doing anything on the weekends anyway. So, it's interesting how we have these canned phrases. Living the dream. That's the usual Wednesday response, isn't it? Isn't that right? I don't know. All I know is that I'm here to talk to you. I'm here to talk to you, my fans. However many are left. However many I haven't driven out. Had them go away running and screaming from the insanity that spews from my mouth. But there's some of you still left, I think. How's it going? I'm doing fine. My whole family's in Europe. Well, except for my sister. She's in Florida. But my family's in Europe. They left me back here. But that's okay. You know, Manoli has to work. You know what they say? No pain, no gain. So here we are. Of course, I'd like to be in Greece. And they went to Norway, too. And England. And Greece, especially. But, you know, it's not so bad. It's not so bad if you don't think about it. Of course, I get pictures every, 5 minutes. But otherwise, it's not so bad. No, I'm kidding. I'm glad they're having a good time. I've been to Greece a few times in my life, so it's not the end of the world. So, no problem. Here I am, holding down the fort here in the beautiful Charleston, South Carolina. That's right. Did y'all catch that national anthem that happened not too long ago at the Home Run Derby? That was something, wasn't it? I'd never seen somebody mess it up that bad. I mean, Fergie was bad. She was really bad. But I've never seen a worse one than that Ingrid Andress, whoever she is, 4 Grammy nominations. I mean, what the heck? I can see why she hasn't won one, but I mean, what are they just passing out nominations like they're candy now? Am I going to get nominated for a Grammy for this podcast? I don't think so, but I should be, I think. But anyway, 4 Grammy nominations. I think that'll be the end of it. I think she's about capped out at 4, whatever she sings. I mean, I don't know. I never heard of her, but she got up there and I mean, she cracked almost every note. It was terrible. She forgot the words. She did mess up the words. And my favorite was, and the rockets regular, the bombs bursting in air. I mean, that was rough. And then she tried to make up for it, and she went up instead of down on, and the flag was still there. It was really bad. If you haven't seen it, go look it up. Ingrid Andress, National Anthem. Listen, the National Anthem's a hard song to sing. I get it. I've sang it. It's not easy. But I don't see how any professional singer goes out on stage and sings like that. I mean, that is beyond the pale. It is beyond the pale. And she came back out later saying, oh, I was drunk off my ass or whatever she was saying. She's going to rehab. Yeah, I mean, how could you do that? Who let her go out? Nobody else there could sing the national anthem. They're like, oh, she's drunk as a skunk, but send her out anyway, see what happens. That was crazy. There's no reason why she should have been allowed to go on stage. You don't go out on stage if you're singing like that. If you're drunk, or if you can't sing for whatever reason, you don't do it. And she's gonna pay. She's gonna pay a big price. That was crazy. I mean, wow. Talk about an affront to our country. I mean, my goodness. We need some patriotism nowadays. And what do we get? We get nothing. We get that. I mean, if that doesn't say a lot of things, I'm going to stop before I get into it. That doesn't say a lot of things about what's going on. You know, it's like a representation, but I digress. And that's not pointed any one way or the other. That's just saying, oh, what's going on in the news? There's nothing going on. Let's move on. I got a strange piece of mail the other day. It was very strange. It said, it's bingo night. And, you know, if you listen to the show before, you know I've had some experiences at the bingo hall. So I'm thinking, oh, who's hosting bingo? And I look at the flyer and it said, bingo night at the funeral home. RSVP, space is limited. Talk about your plot and your casket. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, what in the... What? Who in their right mind says, alright, kids, let's pile in the van. We're going down to the funeral home. Play some bingo. Yeah, that sounds like a fun way to spend my evening. I mean, what? I understand that bingo skews a little older, but... I mean, I would think that the bingo going population has a little more self respect than to go to the funeral home and start looking at the gravesite. I mean, what? Oh, I hate I missed it. So I did an RSVP, so I guess I couldn't go. But I just thought that was really odd. I hate to say it, but it's not like I mean, how could a funeral home go out of business? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just kind of something that happens. Do you really need to attract that kind of business for your bingo night? Going down to the funeral parlor. They play the organ in the background while you're doing it. Yeah, that was weird. What else is going on? I went to a concert the other night. I went to see my friend Buddy Guy, who I've talked about on the show before. Buddy Guy, the blues singer. He's 87 years old. He is 87. He was supposed to come to Charleston last year, but he had to cancel due to the health issues, and I'm glad that he's okay and that he's back at it. I mean, this guy just doesn't stop. Of course, he does say it is the quote-unquote damn right farewell, but, you know, I don't know. I think he still has a club up in Chicago. I think he'll probably play there still, but, I mean, this guy, he's 87 years old. He gets out there. He's a great guitarist. I mean, he's really playing. It's not like he's kind of just strumming the rhythm. I mean, he's playing it. He's singing. He's cracking jokes. He does a great show. And I saw him once 2 years ago. I guess it was close to 3 years ago in Winston-Salem, back when I was in school. I went up there. I was supposed to meet my friend Sam up there, but he texted me. He said, I'm vomiting violently, and he couldn't come. So I went by myself. And, but this time I took my sister to go because, you know, my sister, I mean, I don't think she listens to this show. I can't really blame her. I mean, she hears me talk enough, but my sister, you know, she has some questionable music taste. You know, she likes that one, T.S., you know, Taylor Blank. We don't say her name on this show. Do not speak that name in my presence is what I like to say, but she likes her. Some other ones, you know, I don't know. I mean, listen, everybody has a right to what they want to write, but I figured I got to, you know, expose her to some real music, you know what I'm saying? So, there you go. Yeah, I mean, I kind of pitched out. It's like, hey, Mark Elliott, you want to go see an 87-year-old blues singer? She's like, oh, okay. I think she actually liked it. She has an appreciation. She does. She does, you know. Just trying to keep the youth in line, the youths, as they say. What else is going on? No, he gave a great show for real. I mean, he played all his best songs. He's a great performer. That's it. I did like the show 2 years ago better because it was more of like a music hall kind of club, music club kind of vibe. You know, you were in there. I was standing right at the stage. Everybody was hooting, hollering, having a good time, and the crowd was not what it should have been. I think it was, of course, it was on a Wednesday night. I mean, who's going to go on a Wednesday except for this psycho? I think I was the youngest person there except for my sister, so there you go. That's kind of my life. Always the youngest one around. Yeah, it was funny. But anyway, moving along. You know, I've noticed something. Why do people feel the need? As I've been walking around, I talked last time about my walking around the neighborhood and walking around and doing this and that. Well, right now it's really hot and I'm not doing it as much, but I have noticed that why do people feel the need or feel the right to have their dogs walking around without a leash? I mean, they say, oh, he never hurt a fly. Oh, he's a teddy bear. Oh, this and that. I'm like, I don't care what he is. I don't care if he has no teeth. I don't want him approaching me. I can't do anything. I don't know if I'm supposed to pet it. I don't know if I'm supposed to look at it. I don't know if I'm supposed to run away. Like, what am I supposed to do when your big dog walks up to me and just stares at me and you're way behind saying, oh, he's okay. He's fine. I'm like, I'm sure he is fine, but let me tell you something. And no matter what I do, it's always, oh, we never seen this happen before. It never fails. Whatever, I'm always the exception to the rule. So I apply this logic to random dogs walking up to me. Listen, I love dogs. I have a dog, Astro, also known as Disastro or Ratstro or Little Ass. Those are his nicknames. My point is that I'm not an anti-dog because I know that would cause quite a controversy. I like dogs. I like cats. I like animals. I like them all. Well, I don't like them all, but I like most of them, you know, the good kinds. But the point is that I don't really like being approached by this big dog. It's just one woman that walks around the neighborhood. She has two of them. And they walk around. They're like hellhounds. And it's like she's Persephone or something with these beasts by her side. I'm like, what are you doing? How hard is it to put a leash on your dog? Listen, the thing might consider that I smell good or that I smell like a steak or that he doesn't like my face. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. What am I supposed to do? I can't fight off two of them. They're big. Put a leash on your dog. I mean, you don't have the right just to do whatever you want, people. I dropped something. I digress. I really do. Listen, I love dogs. Let me say it again. I love dogs. But I don't like being approached by random dogs. Especially when, you know, put a leash on your dog. That's how I feel. That's how I feel. But, you know, nobody listens to me. Listen, my dog is tiny. But I still put a leash on him. You know what I'm saying? It's just common courtesy. But the common courtesy is nowhere to be found nowadays. I went to a coffee shop the other day, and this woman walked in, and she was wearing what around her neck? A snake. A snake! A python of some kind. She had a snake wrapped around her neck in a dining establishment. I'm trying to have my croque monsieur, and I gotta look at that. It's sick. It's sick. I don't care if it stays 50 feet away from me. I don't want it near my food. I like every animal. I don't like snakes. I don't really like reptiles except for some turtles. Those are fun. I think crocodiles, alligators, I think they're cool. I don't really like them. You know, I wouldn't go up and pet one if you know what I'm saying. But I do think they're cool animals. But a snake, it's like, what makes you, like, why? Is she going to feed it from the table? You got any rats back there? I mean, what the heck? I don't understand that people are so freaky nowadays. I feel like I'm the only sane person left on the planet. And that's saying something. If I'm the only sane one left, you, me and my listeners, that's about it. But I don't know what else to say. I really don't. I was thinking the other day, you know, I saw this thing on, I think it was Facebook or Twitter. I don't know what it was. It was making fun of Harry Potter because Voldemort. Well, it had a picture of Palpatine from Star Wars. It said he ruled the galaxy for 30 years. And then it had Sauron. And it said he almost took over the world twice. And then it had Voldemort. It said he failed to take over high school. And I got to thinking, it's like, you know, why did somebody just shoot him? I mean, what? Why wasn't that an option? I mean, seriously. It's like they got to try to... first of all, they got to hunt down the Horcruxes, whatever those are. She added that in the sixth book. And they got to hunt down like eight of those. And for some reason, he can't die. Like, he can't die by conventional means. So it's not like, I mean, this guy is evil. I mean, burn him at the stake. Do what you have to do. I mean, get the National Guard involved and just napalm strike him. I mean, what? Why are we fooling around trying to hunt down these Horcruxes? I mean, just shoot him. I mean, seriously, if Harry Potter took place in America, there would be one book. It would be Voldemort tries to mess around and somebody shoots him with a shotgun or a sniper or a rifle or something like that. That's how it would have been. But people say, like, guns aren't commonplace in Europe. I'm sure somebody could have arranged, you know, give Harry a Glock or something. I mean, come on, that guy needs all the help he needs. I mean, the wand's cool, too. You can still, you know, do some damage with the magic. I'm not saying there's no merits to the wand, but it's like, you'd think they would have thought about this. And it's established that the UK government in the books knows about, like, the wizarding world, and they get warnings about things going on. It's like, I feel like if there was a maniac like Voldemort on the loose, I feel like the government would step in and say, work with the wizards. The muggles would work together with the wizards to try to get rid of this guy. I mean, I'm just saying it seems a little contrived. I like the books. I really do. The movies are fine. Most of them. I like the first four. And I like number five. I don't really like the last three. That's kind of how I feel. Of course, some of them are not. I don't know. That's how I feel. Listen, they're good books. I'm not saying they're not. It's amazing the story and all that. So, yeah, whatever. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying. Yeah, if Voldemort tried that stuff in America, I'm telling you, we would take him out. Muggle, wizard, whoever it is. Just saying. Wow. Where do I go from there? I don't know. Where do I go from there? Y'all like hibachi? I really do. You know, there's something nice about... First of all, you see them make the food in front of you. You know they're not going to do something to it. Not that people do stuff to food all the time, but I don't know. In this day and age, they might. You never know. I've heard some stories, but let's not get into that right now. But I like hibachi. You know, you sit down at the table. You're sitting with strangers. Don't you just love sitting with strangers by your side? And they're always like, oh, how you doing? They're like, you been here before? And I'm like, yeah, about 100 times. And how about you? Yeah, same thing. It's like, shouldn't have seen you before. But and some people, they never been there. There's one that we go to all the time. That's like our go-to hibachi. Leo is a big, big hibachi fan. We took him before he left me and went to Europe. We took him, me and my sister. And he loves it there. It's great. I like it too. You know, they give you a lot of food. They give you the soup. The soup is fantastic. The soup is the best. That's most some people. My mother goes there just for the soup. You get the soup. You get the salad. The salad's whatever. But then you get the vegetables, the zucchini, and the shrimps, and the rice. And then they have those little burnt rice. And they say, who wants the crispies? And I say, I want the crispies. Give them to me. And then they give you the sauces. I like all the sauces. Some people only like the white sauce. I like the white sauce, I like the ginger sauce, and I like the mustard sauce. I like them all. I have a very diverse palate. I like all the sauces. And you sit there, and the chef comes out, he's always like, oh, we're celebrating anything tonight. And usually it's what I say is that we're here. But Leo, actually, he's like, I hit a home run today, and I think that was worth celebrating. And I was like, yeah, you go, Leo. He did hit a home run. He was at baseball camp. He's like, I hit a home run today. It was adorable. Anyway, moving along. I like it. You know, it's always fun. You sit next to strangers. that's the only questionable part, I think. But it's always a good time. You know, they do the thing. They throw the shrimp up in the air. They catch it in their hat. And then they always have the onion volcano. And that's always a big highlight. I've seen the onion volcano at least 200 times in my life. I always like it. It always makes me smile. Look, it's the onion volcano. How could you not love the onion volcano? They even do the thing with the lava. It blows up. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. And then they have a birthday. If somebody at your table has a birthday, they bring out the big drum and they go, boom, 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 boom. I mean, who doesn't? How could you not like it? I always get the steak and the filet because I'm an aristocrat, but that's just me. Anyway, but I a big yes on hibachi. I really enjoy it. You can't eat it all the time, although there was one person. oh, golly. My friends used to work at the place. They used to work there. So they were telling me that there's one person that goes in there about every day. And I'm like, I don't know how you could survive. I mean, what? How is that possible? They said he gets the same thing every time. He goes in there basically every day. And I'm like, first of all, the guy must be rich. Second of all, I feel like that would kill someone. I mean, listen, I'm saying I love the food and all, but it's not something you can eat, you know, all the time. Otherwise, I mean, it probably would kill you, all that sodium. But I'm like, first of all, that's impressive. Second of all, that's horrible. Like, how can you do that? And then I was talking about the sauces. You know, some people, they really like the white sauce, and they're like, can I just have the whole canister? And you see him sitting there that has the whole bottle, and I think that's kind of gross. I mean, I have to be honest. I think that's a little extreme with the white sauce, but some people do it. They put that thing right there. They just drench their food in that white sauce. It's like, well, dude, why don't you just drink it at this point? Just put it in your cup and swirl it around. people are crazy with the white sauce. They always ask me too. They're like they just pour the white sauce and they're like, oh, do you want the other? I'm like, yes, I want the other sauces. Why do you try to shortchange me with my ginger and my mustard sauce? But other than that, I like the place. It's great. They have good sushi too. I like sushi. What else? What else, people? What else? I was watching the other day. They came out with Twister, so I was watching Twister, and I forgot how goofy that movie is. I really liked it as a kid. I was really into like the weather. I watched the Weather Channel religiously as a child. I mean, it didn't matter if there was weather going on in South Carolina or Georgia or in Minnesota. I wanted to know what was going on. So Twister was like a big movie in my childhood. I mean, I watched it quite a lot. It wasn't like a favorite. It was one that I would, if it was on TV, I'd watch it. I had the DVD, yada yada. So, but I forgot how goofy that movie is. And I can't believe that it was written by Michael Crichton. I mean, I can believe it because he's kind of, his dialogue has always kind of been like that. It's always a little contrived and goofy, but I don't know, something about it. It's like they make up Jamie Gertz's character to be this big villain. I'm like, was she that bad? Like, I don't remember her doing anything that terrible. She's trying to marry Bill Paxton, and Helen Hunt keeps getting in the way. I mean, what do you want her to say? You want her to be happy about it? And then she leaves. She's like, I can't follow you into these storms no more. I'm like, yeah, that guy's crazy. I love Bill Paxton. I think he's a very amusing actor. I don't know, something about his delivery is funny. The way he talks is funny. My favorite is when they're at the drive-thru, right? And they play a clip of The Shining, and people have said, oh, look, it's a way better movie. They play a clip of The Shining, and then they hear the, say, oh, Bill, in the movie, is also named Bill. He can feel when a storm is coming, or he can hear it or something. They established that early on. So he has a sixth sense when it comes to tornadoes. Anyway, and then Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's inexplicably in the movie, I'm like, what are you doing here, man? Like, he's like in a supporting role. He runs up, he's like, oh, it's coming! It's coming right for us! And then Bill says, it's already here. And I'm like, man, what a delivery. What an actor. Bill Paxton, rest in peace. Seriously. But yeah, what a goofy movie that is. And then the cows. We got cows! We got cows! And then, you know what's really funny is that Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton couldn't stand each other. And so, they filmed the movie. They made it through that, but they had the ride in Universal. It wasn't really a ride. You kind of just stood there and watched they made like a faux tornado, which I think was pretty impressive. I actually kind of missed that. Now they replaced it with some kind of stupid Jimmy Fallon. It sucks. Anyway, moving along. Did something happen here? I hit something. I feel like my audio went down.
Or am I just losing my marbles? It's probably the latter. Let's move on. Anyway, they had the ride at Universal, which I love Universal, by the way. I really enjoy it there. Anyway, but the pre-show, you know, every ride has a pre-show, right? Because they, if you just stand in the line where you get bored, so they try to split it up. Okay, now you watch this movie, and now you listen to this thing, and now yada yada. Anyway, so they had the pre-show, and Bill and Helen would not film it together, so they had to, like, they had, like, Bill in one square, and then Helen in another, like, they were on Zoom, and Bill would be talking, and she would kind of look, I mean, like, look like she was listening to him talk, and then she would talk, and he'd kind of look at her. It was a, it's the dumbest thing I ever saw, but what a good movie. I'm going to see the sequel, the reboot, as it were. Twisters. It's interesting. They started Alien, and then they had Aliens, and then Predator, then they had Predators. Now we have Twister and Twisters. So, there you go. I'm sure it's going to be great, people. it'll be fun, I think. But, moving along. Actually, I think that's about it for today. 26 minutes? Is that good? Is that good enough? I don't think so. I don't know. I feel like I need to feel... I run out of things. I'm telling you, people, I'm running out of things to say. I can't take it anymore, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's like my brain stopped working. It just stops working. What's going on with you, Manoli? Where is your brain? I don't know what happened to it. I've been sitting out by the pool in the sun too long. It fried my brain right up. It's too hot out there, I'm telling you. Now, I love the heat. We've gone over this on this show. I know. I love the heat. Give me the heat over the cold any day. Any day, give it to me. No, but I think that will be it. That's about a half an hour. We try to keep it around there. Sometimes we get long-winded, get off on tangents, and talk about strange things and whatnot. But we're trying to keep it grounded today. We're keeping it grounded. We like to stay grounded. This is the Rational, Reasonable Podcast. Is that right? Anyone? Bueller? Look, it's my Bigfoot bottle opener. It's in the shape of Bigfoot, and it opens my beer. Because, why not? I think everyone should have one of these. But anyway, that's it for real. Okay, that's it. As my friend Angela says, the wonderful Angela on YouTube, with this hilarious Greek lady. I've talked about her on the show before. Look her up. She's very funny. Anyway, that's it. I'm done. I need to eat. I need to go eat. I'm hungry. I've had enough. Thank you. Goodbye.